This podcast is going to be from a real woman's heart. That would be me. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story here. It was my mom's birthday, and I just got her present yesterday. It was 7 days late, and there's a lot of unneeded and undue stress involved in that small time frame, okay? So, just to give you a little frame of thought. Anyways, for the story. Back to Yale's story. Okay, my mom's birthday present came yesterday. I called her because I was really super excited, and I'm like, Mom! Mom! She's all, yeah? I'm all, you need to get over here. She's all, oh, I just sent you a text. I'm all, you need to get over here and come pick up your birthday present. And she was all like, what? What do you mean? A birthday present? What? You know, and I said, well, you know, I'm sorry that it came late, but you're going to want to come get it right now. And she goes, no, I don't need a birthday present. And I said, it's perfume. And she's talking quieter. She goes, perfume? And I go, let's just say Tom Ford's here. And so she was just like, Tom Ford. I got her favorite perfume on the planet. It's a designer perfume. And, you can make payments, though, on it. And so, anyways, I got her a small bottle, and she's been dying with the perfume like no tomorrow. So, she's like, I'm at the store right now. And so, anyways, there's some of the things I wanted to talk to her about that weren't so significant, like me not having a telephone for like 5 to 7 days, you know, and I'd have to be using my house phone. And, you know, so I didn't want her to think that I blocked her. If she tried to call and my phone was turned off, it was going to be gone. And it was going to be in maintenance department getting serviced, right? I had to ship it out. So anyways, that's not important. But what's important is Mom got her perfume. That was the main importance of that phone call. It wasn't that I was going to be out here stranded, you know, kind of like with no telephone to play on and work on or do research or and meditate on, you know. It was nothing like that. It was all about the parfum. So anyway, she goes, I can't come get it today, or she called back or something like that. She's all, or sent me a text, I can't remember, but she's all, I'll come get it tomorrow. And I'm just like, okay, that's cool. And I go, but you better hurry, because, you know, the perfume I got her was so bitchin' that, I mean, if you wait longer than a day when somebody gets you a badass gift, then just expect it to be gone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people shouldn't hold such a sensitive, beautiful, powerful, expensive gift for longer than 24 hours after you told them that you got them something that badass, right? They just shouldn't. You know, because it, in one concept, it's like saying that I'm rewarding you with this great reward for the human being that I hope that you continue evolving into. Or you can give it to that person and say, you know, I got you this really nice, expensive, badass gift, and hoping that you'll never change and still treat me like a son of a bitch. You could do those two options, you know, and, either one of those options sucks when you're giving such a major gift. Just gonna lay it down. You know, when you give a gift to someone, you shouldn't have any fears, qualms, or feelings at all about adjusting how you're gonna control the situation. Period. So, that was a hard lesson for myself to learn, actually. You know, I had to really break myself of that habit, and it was so hard because I was thinking the whole time, why am I doing this, this thought process right now about the options that have been you know, laid forth upon me. Why am I going down the checklist? And you know why? Because nobody else will do it for you. Nobody else will go down your checklist of morality and mentality and your capabilities and your emotions and your feelings. Nobody will do that but you. Sure, you might have a friend or a mima or a papa or grandma that might, you know, give you a couple of those checklists. Even if they give you it all, they won't give it to you all of the time. They'll just give it to you some of the time, only half the time. You know? Because as you get older, people expect that list to diminish. They expect you to have more forethought and more righteous indignation, respectfully speaking, to check yourself on your motives and the morals of other human beings and how you can help contribute to the universe's safety, moral guidance, and energy waves and self and subconscious. That's what people expect that should derive out of one's own soul. The older we get in age, that's what we're hoping. And for those of you out there who might have family members like me, if you know you're not like, you know, really super like divvying up that project with checklists, then you're just going to be left out in the rain. And it's not a fun place to feel like that as a human being, to be feeling like you're left out because of something that seemed so insignificant to you at the time. And let me tell you, the things that do seem insignificant to us at the time normally are quite the big deals in life. The things that approach you in life that are really super shanty and shady and glossy and just too good to be true, those are the falsalities or the fake realities or the not normal being in the state of a neighboring hood. It's it's really quite scary because now it seems like hatred and meanfulness is now at the forefront of everybody's agenda. It's all about their skin first. And you know what? If they want to go first, then so be it. Be my pleasure, you know, by all means, with all due respect. So mote it be, no harm ye done. So what I'm saying with that is I fully release anybody who wants to come up against me with any hate or harm, negative feelings, energies, thoughts, or process, or irritations. Anything that, you know, is not cool, that wants to come up against my soul, it's already been caught, bewildered, and it's been gaveled. It's already been judged and sent. I don't deal with that form of hatred in my life, nor should you. Of any negative, see, to me, anything negative to me is a form of hatred. It really is, you know, because what's, I'm like, I have to stop and ask myself still to this freaking day, what are my motives for doing this, Jen? What are my inner conflicts for wanting to resort to that? And why did I want to go that way? And how could I do that to myself all that way this whole time? You know, that's what I'm thinking too. And like I said, I'm too old to even be acting the way I do sometimes, you know? I'm still holding myself in utter regards as to checking down the checklist of how I am treating other humans. But more so, I know that I've done a good job with human beings on this planet thus far. I don't have any regrets, you know, in that facet. However, what I do find that I have some, lessons that, you know, are reoccurring in my life that I have to learn, that I didn't learn, I guess, respectfully in the universal way, the first time, the first heart of the beat that I felt and did that. I'm not perfect, and I'm just saying if you're not getting it and I'm like misfiring, you're good. you're all right. You know, it just goes to show that in the midst of this process, in the midst of this process of us learning to be kind to ourselves and one another and to respect ourselves first and foremost so that we can genuinely respect another form, during this process, sometimes it feels like you can be fully all alone. It can feel like things can get pretty heavy and laden with, fast onslaughts of anxiety fits or attacks, or just attacks in general. Any attack that comes upon us is an anxiety. It is actually, it's just the word attack, that's just the label. That's the foreman. That's the forefront. That's the title. That's the shading. It's the being. It's the core. It's at the front. Okay? What's behind that is what you're going to live next. It's the forefront of what your reality and perception should be in terms of trying to find a new plateau of living a better being for you, yourself, and your soul first. That's what that's all about. In other words, I'll simplify it for myself. It's the true form and fact of a true human being in a nature that you want to see somebody act. In other words, you want that human to act, like somebody that you really admire and respect, and that you want to like them like that, and want them to act like that so you can like them like that. That's basically how we all are afraid to cross over to the forefront of forgiveness, because that is the plateau or stepping stone, or tip of the ground. The battle lines are being drawn right now with human civilization and mankind's energy. We've come to, and I'm super duper duper proud of you guys. Fuck yeah, I'm proud of you. But we've come super duper far in terms of human beings and thinking more kind. I'm so freaking proud. I didn't think that any of us would be this far, thus long, thus far, at this point in time. Seriously, I did it. And it's evolved into something way more sinister, as in beautiful and awesome and lovely, and it's about time, and I can't wait to see all the souls that, accept who you are, because it's just so free and bitchin'. You are free and beautiful in your own heart, because you're not a part of me. That's what makes you bitchin'. That's what makes you awesome. You don't think we want to have a whole bunch of hearts loose in this planet that act just like grandma or papa or mima, back in, the 1800s. We don't want a bunch of souls like that around anymore, do you? Honestly, you don't have to say it out loud, because this is just a podcast. This is just a broadcast of your superhuman love. This is a broadcast to your soul about how amazing you are. And don't ever, ever forget that you are not Sheol. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look who's calling me the devil, you tell him. I mean, so this is the crossroads that we are at, humans on the planet, on the globe. I could just feel the energy, because I'm into that lifestyle. I'm into intuition and magic, the good stuff of life, the creme de la creme. I'm into that subconscious mind, training, anything, learning, alchemy, learning the constellations, astrology, numerology, all kinds of different forms of meditation and implementations by candlelight and, tarot cards, you name anything of the magical world, when I was told to hit the full throttle, I was like, out the door. So, yeah. You need to be at that gate ready to go like a horse race. Have your nose up and straight and listening, and your ears listening. Be ready. Because when the race in life comes at you, and it is a race for and in life, these anxieties, these problems, these rejections, these letdowns, these are for real races in and of and for and about life. These things that come and hit us on a normal daily mental basis, if not physical, are the things that were never taught to us. They are the things that were joked about or games were even made of, such as the game of life and or Monopoly. These are real serious issues that we deal with. We deal with housing, we deal with rent, we deal with, you know, going to jail. These are true. They're not trivia. These things are real, really real. Only what's really super scary about it is these things are lived in as in real living color. And that means real dynamic what? Energy. And what does energy come from? Energy comes from life. So these are the real serious issues. These games, these anxieties, the problems, the rejections, the mishaps, the money woes, you know, the non-connection on anything that you need. Something as basic as a freaking cigarette or a light bulb. Or somebody being able to pay their electric bill, you know, or somebody being able not to hit their kids for, you know, a week, you know, at least one of them, tag them real good. It's these things right now are actually the kamikazes, the race for your life. That's what these trials, heartaches, tribulations are beings of right now. They inhabit that part of humans' waking life. And that's why I totally implore anybody that has any, you know, self-love or forgiveness, or you're on that path, or you're just listening to me, anybody that you could even contemplate maybe meditating or maybe doing some breath work or deep breath work, you know, that would be like, you know, like hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Release slowly through your mouth. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Inhale again. That's called breath work. You can do that, you know, like 3 times in a row, once every hour. And it's a reminder of that you are releasing pain from your body and you are entering strength in your mind to catapult, captivate, conscrew and structure and design, develop and engineer and draw and be a total fanatical in art about who you are when you take those deep solitary breaths that nobody knows on this planet but you, what you're telling yourself right there at that point in that minute. You know why? Because that is the power of you. Nobody knows what you're doing. Nobody knows what you're thinking. And nobody ought to or need to know. Because if we're at an age that has even a single digit in life where we even know what the power of hatred is so far that we have to go and try to trick ourselves to tell ourselves that we like each other, meaning I like myself, me, and I. So that's why I say each other. There's more than 3 facets to every human being to me. But the basic ones that people really are mindful of and are more familiar with are your mind, body, and soul. Those 3 basics everybody knows about, even little kids. So, and you don't even have to tell little kids about it. So with those 3 basics just starting as, you know, facets in your life, get it? The mind. A facet to the mind would be some type of anxiety that somebody feels they cannot or take control of anytime soon, and especially too late right now because it's already happening. You know, it's already happened. What can I say? You know what I can say? I can say that it's never too late. I don't care if you fall a gazillion billion times before you get it right on the gazillion billion and oneth time. Who cares? What matters is you're a human being and you're still alive. I know it may not mean much right now, but let me tell you, your life is so utterly important on this planet with that gorgeous, beautiful energy or invisible thought process that you have. It's amazing. You're amazing. And this car can't work without your gas. You see? This car can't even be shown or ridden or driven or thrown until it has any of your gas. And you know, and your gas is only one of a kind to make this car function right. Or the other way around. You know, you have a really bitchin' beautifully made hot rod car of your mind or body, but it can't work. I can't see it really do any tricks or, you know, jump through hoops or sideshows or just even to look inside of a Corvette. You know? I mean, I freaking love Corvettes and Jeeps, right? So I can't even get close to that beautiful, perfect specimen of some type of a communication vehicle without me first introducing and presenting and hoping, you know, with all due respects, as I bow my head, that you'll accept this gift of gas so I can see your gift more, you know? See, that's the awesome thing about receiving and giving gifts to other people and seeing is because you see so much beauty in a human that you want to see more. It just, you feel like, you know, you need to calm down because you feel demanding because humans are that important and influential and beautiful and intuitive and colorful that every single one of you will never grasp that process unless you hurry up and get along, horse. Right now, you know, giddy up with you guys have been doing good thus far. And, you know, like I said, the human universe has been doing excellent in regards to shape-shifting your souls and hearts and desires. I've been really super proud and glad. And, I just hope that one day all of us are going to hold hands and going to form a big hug around the earth. One day, we all are going to be connected from every city and every village and nation. No matter where, we're all going to have a great big hug. And what I mean by that is everybody's going to hold hands. Every city and every different color of person, every different dialect, every different culture, everyone is going to join that force. You know, because right now, the way that society has been misbehaving, I mean, you know, these past, you know, 8,000 years to 8 billion years. Right now, it feels like it's not such a toss-up to want to make peace with other people. It might not be such a, you know, far guess from the near future that you want to actually start to make the first move of thinking of saying I'm sorry, even though it's not your fault, because the other part of tarrying on really divvies the brain up whilst you're sleeping and sucks. You know how they say that dream scientists and psychologists and professionals say, they say about dreams, how they say that when you sleep at night, your conscious mind goes to sleep. Your subconscious mind takes over. The reason why they go into that depth in theory is because if you go any further past saying so as far as that, I had an excruciating, horrific nightmare. It was so scary. then scientists and doctors will actually go on to that next part that I was just telling you about, how the dreams are a part of the subconscious mind. So the reason why they're saying that is if, in case you have a negative nightmare, most of the time that usually indicates that there's strong factors for a dream being quite the opposite in regards to a good omen or, you know, a good luck dream. Yeah. When people approach other dream interpreters, you know, or they have night fears, they have real physical symptoms and night sweats and stuff like that, and even children that can come on them too. When they first approach the dream realm like that, it's kind of like, it's a real delicate matter. But I have learned that talking in terms and in depths of dreams in front of those types of children and people, and this is not regular, this is not actual medical, mental or psychological advice. This, you have to go off on your own on this. I'm just saying these experiences are from my own experiences. Thus, I have the theses to actually want to waver in on. Therefore, I wouldn't speak of a knowledge and or topic that was not presented and given and thrusted and painfully reacted sometimes to, you know, in my life. I want people to know that there are minuses and, you know, about still living thus far in life at your age and my age. The minuses are that you no longer have to be subjected to feeling like you're not worth it. That's a minus. Another minus is you're creating your own future now with your own mind because you've been listening to me thus far, and you're becoming quite the pro and you're getting to be familiar with who I am and how I speak and how I engage and who I am, you know, trust and what I say and whom I'm about. So for people that have been listening to me thus far, you know, and been a faithful follower, you know what up with me in my song and my subconscious. It's all about reporting to you and reporting to myself, and then it's reporting to myself to make sure that I'm a good report to and for you. People are that and utterly important. Okay, so yeah, wow. I mean, if somebody, you know what, if we could all live like that, you know, treat everyone like that on a daily basis, that would be cool. Just being honest with somebody if something pissed you off, somebody, you know, threw you off your guard, or somebody played a joke and made you mad, or somebody's not playing a joke and still making you mad, or, you know, just something in life is going wrong. Take all of those notes and toss them in that minus section. You know, because we've never actually talked about the plus section up until now. It's pretty damn tight. I don't know. That's just what I heard from the last reporter from that really super bitchin' highlight last year as a self-man-made millionaire. Aren't the self-made millionaires, aren't they optimistic in life? I mean, aren't they? I've never seen a self-made millionaire just be like, this sucks. I'm out being a hater right now. I can't make my millions. You know, the self-made, you know, millionis, the ones I saw or know of, they were super freaking deep to me. I'm just going to be honest. They were so freaking far out there to me that I thought to myself, dude, I mean, that person became a millionaire and they had that personality. I mean, you know, because my personality was the only one that mattered. I thrust myself, my numero uno self, up there at the forefront. That's right. After I did battle for years of loving myself, then I just threw it all away and stepped up and act like a people pig. It's like, Why do I say that like I sound like I know what I'm talking about? Because I am. That's what I just got done telling everyone. I know what I'm saying, or at least for me, in my experience, and my experiences in my background. You know, I choose to go wherever I want now with my own imagination, my own will, my own soul, my own thoughts, my own touch, my own breath, my own sleeping, my own dreaming, my own factioning, my own designing, my own engineering, my own building, my own power, my own assumption, my own free will, my own free soul, my own protection. I do all of that and then some with my life right now. And you know what? I think that's what the millionaire head dudes did too. You know what I'm saying? They're just not telling the whole story, because there's no way that you can go after a dream or change other people's lives if you're not a phenomenal story, right? So I wanted to know where these millionaire heads, dudes, you know, kind of like what they did to, you know, I mean, I see your business plan, you know, I see you standing there shaking that thing. I see it all, I saw it all, you know what I'm saying? I'm gathering facts and info and intel, and I'm checking the whole scope of the story out, because I'm going to be that one day. I just didn't know what. So I started keeping a book of inventions, you know, thinking, okay, this is going to be how I'm going to make it, you know. But then that became kind of, at one point, tiresome and bothersome, because, you know, some people would act like they weren't in, you know, in regards on some of my inventions and creations, and some people had changed their matter on how they acted, meaning on my creations and inventions. Like, in other words, I was noticing that when I was first tell a group of people about an invention I have, they at first they'd be like, oh, that's a great idea, excellent, yeah, they're all supportive, right? Then a couple years later, I tell that same group of people that same invention to see how if they were really honest, and that other half, they weren't honest, and they either ignored it or never even wanted to talk to me, or did the beeline when they saw me coming, when they thought I wanted to talk about an invention I had come up with. So I had to start analyzing that stuff for myself, per se, because dealing with people that are intimate with you or in your inner circle or that are close to you or that know anything of your personal daily habits that's close, then those people, they are the first ones to take that knife and freaking free throw that sucker as far, as hard, as long, and where they want it at you. They can throw those daggers. But before you even catch it, it's been daggers, knives, and hammers. Oh my. You know? It was the triple the threat of anxiety that people throw to somebody when people aren't thinking kindly. And that triple threat to society means those anxieties I was referring to that we all have on a regular daily basis. Gird yourself with the act of in remembrance of who you are. Gird yourself with the thought of who you are going and want to and so desire secretly in your mind of minds and hearts of hearts and planets of planets, most secrets of secrets of who you would like to be. You know, that right there is what aliens call the supreme perfection of life. You've already changed your energy by listening to me because you're thinking about each process that I talk about. I hope. If you're not, that's cool. But if you are, that's cool too. And if, you know, anyways, if you're listening to any spoken words of mine and you've listened to more than one podcast of me and you've been a follower for, you know, quite some time, I mean, I'm raising the bar for myself just so I don't sound conceited or cheesy. You know, I only have 8 followers. I've been doing this, what, since 2000 and, I think 20, but before that was since 2015. I was trying to break onto the scene with zero equipment, no knowledge of it, didn't know what it was called, how I would research it. There wasn't anything quite out there like that. You know, what I wanted to do was broadcast to the entire planet about how amazing you are, you know, so I didn't know how I was going to do it. So, like I said, I started off with some type of a dream that I'm going to make it. So that was my book of inventions. And then, you know, that fell to the wayside because I did some research in the latter part of the years of my inventions, right? So it's, you know what, and even if I don't make it, you know, as a podcaster that's a badass broadcaster throughout all of human beings for their life's sakes throughout this entire universe. Even if I don't make it, that means I still have to keep an open mind for that, or that maybe that I may have a change of plans and in or careers. See, that's still a lot open. That's why I say I'm constantly with my notion the book, people. I'm constantly studying. I'm constantly checking the wherewithal in terms of spiritual inhibitions and spiritual passions and teachings, workings, knowledge, acknowledgments, and, you know, history and history buffs. I'm always keeping an eye and ear out for that. I'm keeping a sound for the way the planet is, the way the sounds are set up in this world. And, you know, it's better dealing with that than it is dealing with that I made an ass out of myself as a human being to one of my inner circle family members today. It could have been totally avoided. Now I feel like a complete prick because I made somebody that I love, or I'm going to make them feel like crap in a couple of days. And then by then, I'm going to be thinking, I wish we weren't fighting this long. See how important the emotional stride goes with anxiety and the regular rebel daily workings of life can be to one human? It makes it so hard you feel like you are in quicksand. You know, you're sinking fast, but you're not allowed to twitch a muscle in quicksand because it'll take you down super fast. But you're terrified because you don't like this feeling of death. So that's what humans have. That's what we humans, not you, but that's what I have put myself into in these constant daily habitual negative rituals that are not conducive to my soul's future and peace process. I can't even think that of anything else, you know? I mean, there's so much going on there to try to change for my future. That's why I try to regulate and control and modify and edit and edify and determine my process right now on this planet. You know, down to the little itty bitty, you know, excuse me's when nobody's around. If I, you know, if I fart or if I burp abruptly, then, you know, excuse me. I try to remember that, even to washing my hands, you know, 20 seconds. Try to get it under warm water. That's what the CDC says to actually prevent COVID from spreading. Wash your hands running warm water for 20 seconds. You know, so I've been doing that since, you know, stuff like that you do in your own life that makes you like a superhuman or untouchable actually rolls out into how you actually stand and think about other people in regards to respect. you start to look at other people like, oh man, you know, look how they're disrespecting themselves. Was I once like that? Yeah, I was once like that. And how can I help them see a better, you know, image of themselves, that they are important, so they don't have to act like that? You know, sometimes it takes a long time being the light where you are before you're discovered. But that's why you are the light, because your light never tarries or burns out. You know, you can't bury that light. I mean, you can, but it's going to come back up somehow, some way, you know, somewhere, for sure. That's what light is. It's a dominating factor in the dark. You know what I'm saying? No matter what color, kind of light, or energy you talk about in terms of light, it always is a dominating factor in the darkest of cells and pits, houses, minds, and homes. It's a true regenerator and creator of life, is light. So like I said, don't go so low. You know, I mean, you don't have to go solo in this trip of the universe right now. I'm just saying, there's somebody here that's gone through it, and you know, if you keep listening to me enough, eventually I'm going to hit some type of topic that you're thinking in your heart's heart of thunder, you know? So, okay, back to story. Does anybody remember what the story was about? It was about, let me see. Oh, you're gonna get real feeling, the real answers or responses of a real woman, aka me. And the story goes, I bought mi madre some perfume the other day, some perfume, right? Some expensive, really super bitchin' stuff, because she's 80 years old. The lady deserves a freaking war medal, you know what I'm saying? For having to deal with my brothers. Jesus Christ, people. In actuality, you would think my mom was God, because it's like she's had Satan and Lucifer, both my brothers, right? And then she had one good angel. That would probably be me. That would be Jesus. That's how they all deemed it. And then, so yeah, she would be the God figure of this planet. She had to deal with those two bullshit brothers, you know? And it's like, she's 80 freaking years old. I got her perfume that nobody else on the planet has been able to do. Yeah, sure. She's had some perfumes in the past that she liked. And they were what everyone considered high end. But this baby tops the cake. It is the creme de la creme. It's the cherry on top. It's not even the icing anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Mom wanted this more than she wanted life. You know, she wanted to have this perfume in her hand before she was dead. She loved it that much. And if any of you out there know what it's like to want something that bad and you get it, that's a feeling of total euphoria. Euphoria. It's a form of nirvana, of heaven, you know, of a coven of love. It's a link. It's a connection. It's everything you wanted and did some. Right? So anyways, I got my mom her perfume, right? And, oh yeah, I was saying that she should be God, because you know how God turned on everybody all of a sudden at the last minute and said, oh, I'm sorry, but Lucifer, you'll soon have like a diabolical, evil alter ego named Satan. Oh yeah, and for my third child, Jesus, right when, you know, you think you've got a promise with me to everyone, I'm gonna annihilate everyone you like all over again, only this time I'm not sparing no one's ass. But you were saying, you know, so they wouldn't have to go through that ever again. So, I mean, yeah, Mom feels like God to me because she was my creator on some, you know, platform of this universe, right? And a lot of times I noticed that my conflict with God when I was walking that life had a lot to do with my conflict with my own mother, you know? There was just so many times that both of us were never connected at the right places at the right times, and we missed out on a lot of focus on respect for one another. And so I gotta get back to that story about mi madre's perfume. Time's getting tight here. Okay, so, anyways, I sent Mom a text message this morning because she's supposed to come pick up her perfume today, and I said, I'm gonna leave your present here on my property, and I said, no, I don't want to do it there because I don't trust so-and-so, so then I said, just call me. So she calls me, and I said, I'm gonna leave it over in this spot on my property, and she's all like, okay, and then so right before we got off the phone, she's all, you're gonna leave it over where? I mean, and seriously, that's how she acted, what she said, what she sounded like. And I couldn't even respond to her without chuckling whilst I was giving her her answer. I'm all like, Mom, it's gonna be, you know, set in the spot over here. You know, she's like, oh, and then that's when I said, you know, I know you're so excited, Mom, because the way you just responded to that. You know, so she was really super excited. So she came and she picked up her perfume, and I don't know why that, DOS, right? Ooh, my intuitions were spot on. That's cool. Anyways, that was just a little footnote for me to go over later. She calls me and she says, oh, she said some odd number to me, and I'm trying to call it. It says my phone can't make international calls, which I'm going to have to call Spectrum and shake their cage again. And so anyways, I finally just call my mom's cell phone, and I'm all like, Mom, I don't know what number you're sending me. And she's like, oh, I just want to tell you, honey, thank you so much for this glorious perfume. I'm just spraying it all over me. I'm in the car. And she goes, and I've got the windows up, and I just love it. I just want to let you know I got my wonderful present. I mean, she was so happy. Mom sounded like, you know, a precious angel for the first time that got her wings. Or some light. She, you know what I'm saying? It felt so bitching to hear my mom talk like that, because I know when you are earnest with me, and I know when you're not. And so when my mom today was saying, I knew that Mom, she was feeling like the shiz. Mom was the shiz. So I told her, I said, Mom, I go, I'm glad that you got it. She goes, oh, I can't stay long, though, because I got Linda here with me, and we're getting ready to go into the store and go shopping. And I go, okay. I said, but Mom, I want to tell you, that perfume smells so good that even if you're dirty, you're going to want to put at least one squirt on, and you haven't taken a shower after you got done cleaning or doing some dirty work. And she starts laughing because she's like, she didn't deny it, but chicks know this. And then I told Mom, oh, and she goes, oh, I can't stay long on the phone, honey. And I said, okay, one more thing about your perfume. She goes, yeah. I go, even if you haven't taken a shower in 3 days and you've been working and dirty and you're totally not planning on going anywhere out of your home to where it requires you to wear a church suit and makeup, you won't be able to wear that perfume for a while. You'll still glance by it. When you walk by, you're going to glance at it on the counter in the bathroom, and you're going to stop super fast and still face the position or the direction you were at, and get your arm and grab that sucker so fast and pull it to your chest. You're going to rip off the bottle, the lid, and you're going to smell the rim of it. And then I told Mom, and then pretty soon, before you even know it, delight takes you over. You spray it once, you're like, ah, I need more than that. And you just take a shower, full blown in it. You're like, in 3D, you're in slow-mo. Spraying that shit all over. And when you get done, you don't feel a guilt for a damn thing you did. You know why? Because you smell so freaking good and you feel so good. You needed that awareness. You needed that shout of good energy. And you don't give a damn. She started laughing. She just thought it was funny because, you know what? When ladies get a hold of a scent that they really love, that's how they get used to their perfume sometimes. They just do that kind of crap, which is spray it on you when you're dirty, spray it on you when you're clean. With that said, I just want to say that these are real emotions and mementos from a real woman. These are real feelings from a real woman. Okay, I'm going to conclude that podcast for now, everybody. And everybody, stay strong, stay light, stay shine, be free, no guilt, and respect yourself more than you respect others, because that will in tune be a tone for how you respect the world, and that energy will come across of being pure light. And again, it's all from the light heads, from you guys. Peace out, namaste, and I was gonna say Nayasara, that might be a word, I'm not sure. Okay, bye.